Just about any injury causes pain when it gets cold, and that's a big one there.
Well, he said his chest, you know, where they cracked him open to do the bypass, he said it hurt, but it didn't hurt anything like his left leg has.
There's more heat in your chest than there is in your legs. Your legs have a tendency to be cold, and it probably helps his chest there. Yeah. I will remember, Mark, you say you had some prayer requests?
Yes, I have a friend that started dialysis. Remember him in your prayer. And also that he will know that God is God.
Alrighty.
And I've got another friend that has COVID.
Got COVID? Alright. Alright.
Pray for my grandson here, just because I want you to. It's good.
Yeah.
Alright.
We all need it.
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, be in your house. This January the 8th, Lord's Day, Sunday morning, Lord, a beautiful day you've given us. I actually was expecting to be snow on the ground. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you've spared us that. We're able, Lord, no excuse not being here today. Thank you for these that are already here. Thank you, Father, for these that are coming.
Yes.
And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, even ourselves, Lord, to be in the house of God. Start out this year, Lord, started out right, putting God first. I pray, Lord, dear Father, this morning you'd bless our efforts today. Bless, Lord, I pray, Mark, this morning. Sister Vonnie said he was having pains in his legs, and certainly understandable from the surgery that he's had. But we pray for him, God. We know, Lord, your grace is sufficient. We know, Lord, you're able to help. You're the great physician.
Yes,
Lord, you're able to send your word and heal us. You're able, Lord, to come and minister, Lord, to our needs. I pray you will, Brother Mark, Sister Kay. Lord, we pray for Kay's sister. And, Lord, we pray for her nephew. We pray for Lily Lake and River. Yes. Lord, you know the needs there. And I pray for Sister Vonnie's son, Billy. Pray for him, Lord, that's still battling cancer. Pray, Lord, Father, for Kevin. Pray for Denise. Pray, Lord, for Patty, Vonnie's. Brother Bonnie's sister, Mark's sister. Lord, pray for their mother. Pray, Lord, Father, Sister Brenda this morning. Lord, she's got a friend that's just starting kidney dialysis, Lord. And Lord, she got a special prayer request for him that he'll acknowledge you, Lord, and know you. And Lord, she's got another friend that's got COVID. We pray for them. And I pray for her grandson, Lord. What a blessing, Lord, that is, Lord, to have her grandson with her here this morning. Pray for Sister Joanne. Lord, we thought about Joanne, Lord, as we drove up here this morning.
Yes.
Lord, she'd be here even right now, Lord, if her health would allow her to be here. And I pray you'd send blessings her way. We miss her. We love her. And, Lord, she loves you. We pray for her. Pray for her health. Pray for her strength. Pray, dear God, that I think Rita was there this morning as we come by. Bless Rita. Pray for Eric. Pray for Joe, her husband. Lord, we pray, Lord, for the sick in this church.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, Father, for James and Patty. We pray, dear Father, Lord, for Lord Larry and Carol, Lord. I don't know if they're still battling sickness or not. Pray for Serenity and little Leroy. We pray for them. I pray for Miranda. Pray for Mark. Pray for Caden and Tavin. We'd like to see them, Lord, in the house of God.
Yeah.
And Lord, if there is a reason, Lord, I guess, Lord, that might be all right. But if there's not one, Lord, I pray that they'd make up their mind and go get in church. Start out this year, Lord, in the house of God. I pray for them. I pray for Brother Mitchell. I pray for Phyllis. Phyllis having trouble with her health. Brother Mitchell, Lord, still struggling with his health. Pray for his sister, Bessie. Lord, I pray for Sybil. Pray for Sister Sharon. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for Jerry and Carolyn. Lord, pray for their son, Danny, his wife, Tammy. Pray for little Abby. Pray for Thomas. Pray for Landon. We pray, dear Lord, for Patrick and his father, Ronnie Lindsay, Lord. Lord, still struggling with his health. We pray, Lord, for Sarah. Lord, as a blessing, Lord, her mother, Christina, able to be here last Sunday. We thank God for that. Pray, Lord, for her. Pray, Lord, Father, for Lucy. Lord, we pray for Chase, for Jake, for Micah. We thank you for our young people, Lord. We pray, Father God, Lord, for James,
yes,
Star, and James Jr.
Yes.
Pray, Lord, Father, for Jordan and Casey. Lord, we pray, dear Lord, for Denny and Sue. Yes. We hadn't seen them in a while. We miss them. We love them. I've seen where Sue had a birthday, Lord, and we're thankful, Lord, for Sue and Denny. Or Denny, Lord, we pray, Lord, for Brother Ed. What a blessing, Lord, he is, not only to you, but to me and to this church. Yes. Bless always, Brother Ed. And Father God, we pray, Lord, for Sister Sandra Ford. Lord, she hadn't been here in a long time. We love her. I know she's a member of another church, but we just want to remember her in prayer. And Lord, we got a lot of people, Lord, we'd like to see in the house of God.
Yeah.
And Lord, you can send them. We pray for Ashley and Carter and little Caden. Pray for her daughter and husband, Lord. It's a blessing, Lord, they showed up here. And Lord, fill this little church and help us, Lord, always to be a blessing to you.
Yeah.
And Lord, to lift you up here, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We're in Genesis chapter 41. Our last verse that we read was verse 44. And Pharaoh, he's king of Egypt, ruler over Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Those first two words there. Boy, you know, those words, I am, mean a lot.
That's right.
He said, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh's telling Joseph, I'm putting you in charge, boy. I was asking Brother Ed what age he thought Joseph was, and I was looking, trying to figure it out. Looked down verse 46, and it tells me that Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh.
Yeah.
But I want to comment a little bit about Joseph before we go into our lesson this morning. Joseph's been through such adversity. He's got one brother, Benjamin, and he's got like 10 stepbrothers. And his father told him to go check on his stepbrothers, and they saw him afar off. And they took him and put him in a pit where there was no water, left him, him crying, and they left him in that pit. They took his coat of many colors, they rent it, Bonnie, and they put animal blood on it and sent it back to his father and said, this may be your son's coat, we don't know. But they left him in that pit. And then when they got him out of the pit, they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites sold him to Potiphar. And in Potiphar's house, God was with him. Put him in charge of Potiphar's estate. Potiphar's wife made a pass at Joseph. And he denied her. And she made up an accusation that he tried to molest her, and it wasn't true, but he got put in prison. And when he was in prison, the jailer showed him favor, put him in charge of the prison. The butler and the baker both had dreams. Pharaoh's butler and baker.
Yeah.
Joseph interpreted the dreams. He said, show me kindness. Remember me when you go back to Egypt, back to Pharaoh. Well, they forgot all about him.
Yeah.
But here Joseph is now, standing in front of Pharaoh, and I'm sure that he's probably forgot some of the adversity, Brenda.
Yeah.
You know, when we get to heaven, I got a feeling we're going to forget a lot of adversity.
Amen.
All the things we couldn't keep from going wrong, all the disappointments, all the heartache, all the grief, the funerals.
Oh, my.
God somehow outweigh every bit of that.
Yes, he will.
We stand before the real Pharaoh. We stand before the real I am.
Yeah.
You know, Pharaoh's a worldly king. He's a worldly I am, but we're going to stand before the heavenly king and the heavenly I am. Verse 45. And
you know, when you mentioned that a while ago, I am, that's what come in my mind. The great I am.
The great I am.
He spoke to Moses and Aaron.
Yeah. I mean, on earth, Pharaoh was an I am.
Yes, he was.
I want you to know the great I am. Hallelujah. When he said before Abraham was, I am, he meant it. Go ahead, Bonnie.
And Brother Eddie, you know, I read a comment somebody had put on Facebook not too many days ago. And they were talking about, you know, when they get to heaven, when they actually see Jesus. We can't imagine
That's true.
What it's going to be like.
That's true. We can't. No eyes seen.
And realize, really realize everything that he went through for us.
Yeah.
Everything.
That's true, Bonnie.
You know what?
And we don't even superficially understand the suffering that Jesus went through. I thought about it all week. That he could have stopped it.
Yeah.
And yet he allowed it, because had he not allowed it, we could never be saved. And I guess the reward of his suffering, you know, he deserves the reward of his suffering. He doesn't ever get it.
It amazes me, some of the messages you preach, like last Sunday morning and last Sunday night, were tied in together. And you know what? It amazes me how those keep working in your mind during the week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you what, I went through your preaching, I don't know how many times this past week, because of what you preached on. You know, anytime that you preach on the Antichrist, boy, and it's right here, right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll be preaching again tonight about that Antichrist spirit. That's been downloaded, God, about 40 times.
Oh,
that's,
it has.
I don't know if it's just the word Antichrist or what, but people have really visited that message.
Yes, they have.
But Joseph...
I visited it so many times this past week myself, so, you know, it's done me good too.
Joseph's been through such adversity. He suffered so much. No doubt, you know, wondering why me?
Yeah.
And he got a dream, you know, about, you know, his brothers bowing down to him, got a dream about the sun, the moon bowing down to him. None of it really made no sense. He suffered, and now here he is standing before Pharaoh. Verse 45 says, and Pharaoh called Joseph's name. Here we go. Zaphaniah, Paniah, I don't know. It's over my head. But that name means revealer of secret things. He recognized that Joseph was in touch with God.
Yeah.
When Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream is from God, and God will show the interpretation, he said God is about to show, or God is about to do what he showeth unto Pharaoh. And that dream about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, Pharaoh picked up on that, and he called him a revealer of secret things.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphera, priest of On. And this wife, Asenath, a Gentile bride, espoused by Joseph. See, Joseph's a Hebrew. And this is a wife from Egypt, espoused to Joseph, the rejected one. Jesus parallels Joseph here. He's here because of rejection. And in John chapter 19, the Jews really took it a little too far here.
Yeah.
But they said, John 19:15. They said, well, I know what I'm in Acts. Thought that looked kind of strange. Yeah. They said, they cried out, away with him, talking about Jesus, away with him, crucify him.
Yeah.
Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. That rejection, Joseph has been through that rejection by his brothers. And here the goodness and grace of God gives him a bride. It's a Gentile bride. And in this, it's a type of the church called out to be the bride of Christ during the time of his rejection by his brethren, which was Israel. He came unto his own. His own received him not. And Joseph is paralleling Jesus just about in everything here.
Mm-hmm.
He's in touch with God. He gives God all the glory, all the praise. He doesn't seek any honor or praise or nothing. But it says, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And Joseph gets started right on with the work. Let me say this right. Joseph gets started immediately with the work that he's called to do. I thought about Jesus there at the age of 12 years old.
Yeah.
He's in the temple and he's disputing and teaching the Word of God. And his parents, when they did finally realize he wasn't with them, he answered them, "No, you not. I must be about my father's business." Well, Joseph isn't, again, parallel. He's immediately about the business. And it says, verse 47, "And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls." And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field which was round about every city laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea. You see, he took God seriously. God had gave Pharaoh two dreams.
Yeah.
One was about corn, and the other was about cattle. And Joseph here, he's gathering corn as the sand of the sea very much till he left number. And you couldn't even number it all, Brendan. There was so much of it, they run out of numbers. They finally said, "We ain't got no more zeros, Joseph." And for it was without number. Verse 50, "And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh." Mm-hmm. That name actually means forgetting. Mm-hmm. Joseph, kind of forgetting all of the suffering, all the adversity, all the disappointments that he's been through. And he named his son Manasseh, which means forgetting. He said, "For God," said he, "hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." He's in the perfect will of God. He got there through a lot of suffering and pain, heartache. But he names his firstborn son Manasseh.
And you just mentioned there a while ago, when we get to heaven, we're going to forget all of this mess that happened to us down here on earth.
That's true.
That'd be wonderful.
That's true, Brother Ed. And you know what? If we didn't forget it, it couldn't be heaven.
No, it could not be.
And heaven is going to be a place that we could have here if we could just crucify the flesh. I thought about our flesh.
Oh, my goodness.
How contemptible it is. I mean, Peter said, "I'll never deny you," and denied him three times before the cock crowed twice. I mean, that's us. Peter's a good picture of us. We say things that we can't back up. And Jesus told Peter, "Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." And, you know, Peter, "I'm ready to die for you." And, you know, he's the first one to betray and deny that he even know the Lord. On the third time, denied him cursing.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's the flesh. Yeah. That's what we're dealing with.
That's what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, this old flesh.
Oh, my.
And the name of the second he called Ephraim, that name means fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
"For God have caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Boy, he went through a lot to get to where he is. But he names his second son fruitful, Bonnie. "And the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended." Now, listen, Brandon was talking about raising a garden. One reason you raise a garden is so you can eat.
Yeah, that's right.
And most of the time in the garden, you raise more than you can eat.
Right.
So you put some of it up, and you can it, and you freeze it, and you do all kinds of things so you can have it. Well, Joseph has done that. He's put all this up. It's without number. Now that 7 years of plenteous has ended. Verse 54, and the 7 years of dearth began to come. Me and Brenda's grandson there was talking about the weather, how obvious it is in California and New York that, you know, someone's trying to send them a message. The Bible says in Nahum chapter 1, verse 3, that God has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm.
Yeah.
God sometimes speaks for storms.
Yeah.
President George Bush Sr. made Israel give up some land.
Yeah, he did.
And the next day, against science, impossible, no way, a tornado came to his front door. They made a movie about it called The Perfect Storm. It was impossible. There's just no way for this to happen. And yet the next day, that tornado came to his front door. I just tell you, sometimes God speaks through the weather.
Yeah, He does.
And I think about California, 6 to 8 feet of snow. I think about New York, what was it, 9 feet or something like that. I mean, it is just really having problems weather-wise, but here says the 7 years of dearth. God had already told this was going to happen.
Yeah.
7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands. But in all the land of Egypt, there was bread. Why'd they have that bread?
They put back the
bread. They laid it up, didn't they? Yeah. Yeah, they got word from God. They're not like most people. They gave heed. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, says we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which were spoken. I believe that's right. Let's look at that. Hebrews chapter 2.
When you mentioned there a while ago about canning and stuff, should I wash up all my canning jars and take them to Brenda?
Says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. They didn't let it slip. That's why I'm wanting to say that.
Yeah.
They acted on what they heard.
Right.
And there was bread in Egypt.
Yeah.
Now, we got a lot of hunger out there, and there's bread in Egypt. What do you think is going to happen?
Mm.
Yeah.
I know one day, me and Brother Ed know how to fill this church up. All we got to do is say we're going to have a meal.
That's it.
I'm talking about standing room only. We know
that's right.
We know how to fill the church, don't we,
yeah,
brother?
We do, brother.
We need to have fish fry. Me and you got to go fishing and catch a bunch of fish. Then we got a fish fry over. Amen. All right. There's bread in Egypt. Verse 55, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread.
Mm-hmm.
And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph.
Yep.
What he saith, you do. Woo!
Amen. That's right.
He's the type of Christ. He's now
right.
Second. And he said whatever he said. What was it Jesus' mother told that bunch at the at the wedding?
Yeah.
Whatever he says, do it.
That's right. Yes.
She said, whatsoever he said, you do it. Well, Pharaoh says this about Joseph. What he said, you do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt.
Yep.
And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph. Boy, you know Jesus. He said, when I be lifted up.
Yeah.
Brother Jerry, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. And here Joseph is type of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been exalted to second in command. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn. because that the famine was so sore in all lands. Verse 1 of chapter 42. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, that's Joseph his father. Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? He said, behold, I have heard that there's corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. You know, I think about a church, if it's got a good reputation. My pastor preached a message one time called, could you recommend your church? But a good church, when someone comes in, there's bread and fish on the fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't come in empty and leave empty. You come in and you get something from a good church.
Right.
I've been in some churches, I hate to say it, but they were like funeral homes. I mean, buddy, I'm telling you, it wasn't good. And I had to open my Bible, just feel the presence of God. But a church ought to be like what Joseph says here. There's bread down there. Get down there and get us some. Verse 3, and Joseph's 10 brethren. Like I said, these are his half-brothers. They're from Leah. Rachel only had 2 sons, Joseph and Benjamin. They went down to buy corn in Egypt. Benjamin, that's Joseph's youngest son, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. I don't think he trusts these boys.
No.
And good thing he didn't. That's the reason Joseph was down there. But all of this, you know, my pastor said one time that we're victims of prophecy. God has already told how this is going to end up.
Right.
I understand the apostasy of our day. I don't like it, but I understand. I know some of the things going on today is because the light's not as bright as it was. I wish we could trim it up. But, even with the little flickering light that the church has, we're still doing some good. We're preaching again tonight about that spirit of Antichrist. Oh, are we in the way? The Antichrist wants darkness. But here, Jacob's afraid something might happen to Benjamin, so he kept Benjamin with him, and he sent them 10 sons of Leah. Says verse 5, and the sons of Israel, talking about Jacob, came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph had a dream about his 10 brethren bowing down to him. You're going to see how God fulfills that.
Yeah.
And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came, and what did they do?
Bowed down
themselves before him.
Yeah.
With their faces to the earth.
He told them that before, it made them mad.
Yeah.
Here
they are, even though they got mad, here they are fulfilling the very thing that they got mad of. They're bowing down to Joseph. They don't even know who he is. But here he is, he's governor. They bow themselves down before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them. They didn't know him, but he knew them.
Right.
But made himself strange unto them. Yeah.
Cut my head off. I ain't bound down to our governor.
Amen. And spake roughly unto them, and said unto them, whence come ye? Now Joseph's having a little fun here.
Yeah, he
earned this.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he's in the perfect will of God. He's exactly where he's supposed to be. But also, listen, also this is a type of Jesus revealing himself to the Jews.
Amen.
That's just right. Want you to understand this.
Yes.
This is in here for a reason. It's like Abraham offering Isaac, a type of Jesus' sacrifice on Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph here, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed and said unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land. Ye are come. Verse 10, and they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. That's ain't nothing really true. Man, I'm telling you what, you couldn't leave these boys alone very long at all. They're getting some kind of trouble.
Yeah.
But we are true spies. That deal that happened over their daughter Dinah killed the king of Shechem, his son, and all that place. These boys couldn't be left alone. But they said, we are true. Well, I lost my spot here.
Good morning, Shelby.
Thank you. True men, thy servants are no spies. But he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land, ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. They don't even know they're talking to him.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm sure God's got a little bit of sense of humor right here, but you know, the Bible said that Jesus in John chapter 1 came to his own, and his own received him not, and they didn't know him. The Bible says the word was made by him, the world knew him not. All this paralleling right here, it said, verse 10 of John chapter 1, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. They didn't know Joseph here, but he knew them.
Right.
And Joseph said unto them, that is it that I spake unto you, saying ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. He's really putting some weight on this right here. Ye shall not go forth hence, except your younger brother come hither. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you. Or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. Boy, he's putting some serious pressure on them.
Yeah.
And he put them all together in the ward, which is prison, for 3 days. Now they put him in the pit, and he put them in prison. Now you know what? I've been in prison before. I was visiting. I went with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry.
Yeah.
Now I'll tell you right now, that's not for the faint-hearted. You better be sure you're saved.
Amen.
Before you go into a maximum security prison.
Yes, Lord.
And some of these guys were in lockdown. They weren't even allowed to get out. And they got a little window in the door, and you can look in there, and you can tell why they need to be locked down. He's like animals. Can't even repeat what you see looking through that door. But the others, they were only allowed out for like, you know, maybe an hour to get some exercise, and they would walk, and you could walk with them and talk with them and reason with them a little bit. Some of them was open, others were closed. But I'll tell you what, prison, you never forget that. Well, here Joseph's brethren, they're in prison for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 18, and Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God.
Mm-hmm.
If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your younger brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul. When he besought us, we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And that is pretty true. I mean, the shoe's on the other foot. Joseph's in charge now, and they wouldn't hear his cries. And now he's put them on the spot. Verse 22. And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against a child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." Now, like I said, Joseph is a type of Christ. In verse 23, "And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter, and he turned himself about from them and wept." Boy, preaching today about Jesus weeping.
Yeah.
And here Joseph is.
After all they done, he just loved him so much.
He's weeping. And he's weeping over them.
Yeah.
Even though they done him so bad, he still loves them.
Yeah.
"And returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them." He didn't just give them corn. He said, "Load the wagon down."
That's right.
I mean, provision for the way. They had the best of Egypt.
Yeah.
You know, he loved them boys. Even though they'd done him wrong, he still wept, knowing, you know, that he's where he's supposed to be, and they had done him wrong, he still loved them. Amen. "And they laden their ashes with corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ash provender, in the end he spied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored. And lo, it was even in my sack. And their heart failed them."
Yeah.
"They were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God has done unto us?"
Mm.
They ain't got a clue about any of this.
They're scared to death.
And, you know, that's one thing about sin. It will put you in a predicament like this. They know they're guilty. They know they've done wrong. They don't even understand any of this. But the goodness of God that's been bestowed upon us, Joseph is bestowing this goodness upon them. "And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we're not true men. We're true men, we're no spies. And we be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that you are no spies, but that you are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and you shall traffic in the land." Now this is going to be quite a no for Jacob. He's not going to be on board with this. They're doing their best to commune with their father, but they left really with just their lives. It says, "And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, me you have bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me."
Mm.
And Reuben spake. This is the oldest son.
Yeah.
This is Jacob's firstborn. "And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons. If I bring him not to thee, deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which you go, then shall you bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." We'll stop at verse right there at the end of chapter 42. But you see all this dilemma?
Yes.
Every bit of this is God's will.
Yes.
God had already told about all this before it ever came to be.
Right.
And here they are seeing it fulfilled. You know, we're just like them. We've been told everything that's going to be. Like Bonnie says, we're not going to know until we see it for ourselves.
Right.
When we get there, we're going to say, why didn't I believe all that? Why didn't I understand all that? Well, that's kind of the way God put it, just like that. You can take it as God's word, and you can take it to heart. One thing that it's impossible for God to do, it's impossible for God to lie. That's hard for us to understand that. We come out of the womb speaking lies, and God does not lie.
Right.
He said the devil's a liar and the father of it. So every word of God, you don't even have to question it. I remember my mama used to give me medicine, and sometimes it was turpentine. I said, what is it? She said, don't worry, take it. And she said, it'll be all right, and I like to gag my guts out. I'm telling you, every word of God is good. And to be received, I'm telling you, it's good. We'll stop right there.
We'll be back in 15 minutes for a song.